You're listening to LCC Alumni Stories, a show dedicated to highlighting the amazing alumni of Lansing Community College. I'm Steve Robinson, president of LCC, and on each episode, I have the awesome privilege of getting to know one of our many inspiring alums and hearing about their experiences at and since leaving LCC. The LCC alumni community is expansive and far-reaching. They're an incredibly diverse group of people, representative of all walks of life, working in hundreds of industries across the country. LCC Alumni Stories shines a bright light on alumni who make positive contributions to their communities and showcases those who've overcome obstacles and barriers to achieve academic and personal success. These are their dynamic stories. My guest today is Paul Molnar, who studied theater at LCC from 1991 to 1993 before transferring to the University of Michigan. He's currently the Director of Theater Performance and Associate Professor of Theater at Independence Community College. Welcome to the show, Paul. I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you. I'm really thrilled to be here.
I'm thrilled that you're here. And you know, before we talk about your alumni journey and your long journey back here to what you're doing now, you're doing something really exciting. You are artist in residence with our theater department right now. Tell me a little bit about that. What are you doing here with our theater students and faculty?
Yeah, so I had some conversation with Kevin, who's the director of the production of Romeo and Juliet.
Right, right.
And I was asked if I would be willing to come and participate, not only in the production, but doing some workshops in the community and working with the students here. And I was so excited to be able to have this opportunity to come back to a place that launched my entire future.
I can't wait to talk about how your future was launched here, but I want to linger over this key fact right here. Our students and our theater program in this production of Romeo and Juliet are really benefiting from a long career in professional theater. Not only are you a professor of theater, you've been in a lot of productions and you've got a ton of experience. Tell me a little bit about your background in the theater.
Sure. So after graduating from University of Michigan, I moved to New York City.
Right.
And I lived and worked there for 20 plus years.
Wow.
And that career took me not only various places in New York, but regionally, you know, different companies that I worked with, Shakespeare companies and straight plays and musicals, and just went all over. So I've had a really wonderful career in New York. And the thing that's the most exciting, I think, coming back here and being able to work with these students is to be able to see where I was at that point and then being the person in the room that has, you know, 20 years gone by and sort of, because I believe that theater is an apprenticeship.
Right.
I really think that you learn from the people who have gone before.
Uh-huh.
That's certainly the way that I learned as an actor.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a real privilege to be able to work alongside these students and help them create this work.
Well, what an incredible opportunity for our theater students, because I was going to say, I imagine if I was a theater student, but I don't have to because I started college as a theater student. If an artist in residence acting in plays in New York City came and was in a show with me, I just can't imagine the amount of experience you're going to impart to our students during this production of Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, you know, I have found it to be refreshing, the energy that the young mind brings out onto the rehearsal floor and just the energy that they're creating. It's infectious, you know, as someone who's had a few years, you know, to see that kind of youthful invigoration and sort of fearlessness of approaching the text is really refreshing for me.
Well, and I was really interested in you referring to theater as an apprenticeship. So this is a great example of learning by doing, right? And our students who maybe many of them, this will be probably their first Shakespeare production. Mm-hmm. It's certainly not yours. And so being a fellow actor in a company with that kind of diversity of experience just has to be an incredible learning environment.
It is. And you know, I think one of the things that comes to life in the rehearsal process, one thing that I didn't know when I was younger was, you know, quite how to be able to say, you know what, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know how to solve this moment. and encouraging the students to be able to say, you know what, I don't know, let's look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do some research. Let's talk about what the moment is about instead of feeling like you have to come up with a final performance on the very first day of rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean about it being a process and learning from the people who've gone before. I certainly have to still look up words. And even though I've done Romeo and Juliet either as an actor or as a fight director 14 times.
14 productions.
14 productions of Romeo and Juliet. So,
wow.
I've done the play a lot and I still go back and I'm like, what is that moment about? I know in this production we did this and that production we did that, but what is it in this new environment? You know, so that's what's interesting to me and exciting.
That's got to be really, I can only imagine, very helpful for students because so many of them, the Renaissance drama, that prose, what the lines they read has to be so foreign to them in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But to know that even a veteran actor who's done the play 14 times mm-hmm. still has to think about interpretation, the meaning of words. And of course, we know, you know, from Shakespeare, many of the lines in plays like Romeo and Juliet are deliberately ambiguous, meant to be taken multiple ways and can be performed so many different ways.
Absolutely. And especially, you look at where we are right now in 2022, Romeo and Juliet is really sort of a play about these two rival families.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I mean, fundamentally, you have something that has been running through the current of our society very much, you know, right now politically and all that kind of stuff. So even if you're not doing it in either a modern dress or perhaps, you know, in period dress, the core values, the core ideas of the play are still relevant to this day. So that's really fun.
Well, the play has such staying power, and I can't wait to see what you and the students do with it. Now, before we talk about your time here as a theater student, mm-hmm. you mentioned that in addition to playing a key role in the play and working with the students, you'll also be doing the choreography fight direction. Tell me a little bit about what goes into making a convincing combat scene in a play like Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, so the biggest thing for me whenever I deal with stage combat or any kind of violence that's being told on stage,
mm-hmm.
you got to figure out what the story is.
Okay.
Right? What's the purpose of the conflict?
Interesting.
And until you understand what that purpose is, you sort of just spin your wheels a little bit and you maybe just come up with some interesting choreography that looks cool.
Yeah, otherwise it's just a visual show. But what you're talking about is there's some key storytelling.
Absolutely.
What's the conflict at the core of this combat?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially in Romeo and Juliet, you know, specifically the sword fight between Mercutio and Tybalt, two very different types of characters.
Okay.
And one of the things that I really try to do whenever I choreograph something is I really try to talk to the actors and say, What's going on with your character in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want? What do you need? Because if we can get the choreography, the moves
mm-hmm.
to come from the character,
right?
It's going to empower that actor to be able to act it in a more thorough way, and we're going to just tell a better story.
Right, right. So thinking back to my theater days, that would be about that actor's motivation as a character,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And what I'm hearing you say is that in addition to just being part of the story, there is a fight.
Mm-hmm.
This is really propelling where the characters are going
mm-hmm.
and how they interact with each other.
Yeah.
You know, let me ask a kind of a layperson's question about stage combat. Can it be dangerous? Are there ways that you can ensure the safety of your actors when you're choreographing these scenes?
It absolutely can be dangerous, which is why it needs to be choreographed. And, you know, one of the dangers is, I think sometimes when we, you know, when actors think, oh, I'm doing a fight, they think, oh, I've really got to, you know I'm not going to maybe make contact with the person, but I'm going to really throw my body into it. And so the challenge is to allow the actor to feel the freedom of movement
mm-hmm.
while restraining it. I talk about it as a violent dance.
Wow.
It's a physical dialogue, but the dialogue has to be there. Right? It's not just an improvised throwing of blades around.
Okay. And one thing built into what I hear you saying is that it's probably not designed to be seen right up close. It's not like a movie. The audience is seeing this from 15, 20 feet back.
Yes.
And it has to read as a fight, but it doesn't have to really be a fight.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, with film... Film is, in some ways, is easier because you have the lens of the camera.
Got it.
Right? And you can dictate sort of where that eyeball is going to be viewing the violence. Oh. But when you're on stage, you have a broader span of the audience. So you have to take into account where all of those people are going to be watching this, the violence.
Well, and particularly with Shakespeare, where you're often in the round or at least three quarters, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, where are you performing Romeo and Juliet? Where are we doing this?
So it'll be in the courtyard out center
outdoor.
Of campus.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'll be a nice kind of three-quarter.
So not exactly a proscenium, but certainly not in the round, but enough where there'll be multiple view. You can't hide the fact that there isn't contact with the lens, is what I hear you saying.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm so, so excited that our students get to work with you on this. So one of the things about your career, you know, you did all this theater in New York. You've performed Shakespeare so many times, but it sounds like that started for you right here at LCC. How did you come to LCC?
It did. Well, you know, I came to Lansing Community College because I was dating someone who was going to Michigan State.
Ah.
And instead of having a long-term relationship, I was going to North Central Michigan College up.
Sure.
Because I'm from Boyne City originally.
Okay, yeah. So, I know Boyne City and I know Nuckmuck really
well.
Yeah,
yeah,
I do,
yeah. Yeah, good. Fighting Ferrets. Although I think they've changed their name now.
I think so. But yeah, it's a great school in a beautiful part of the world.
Absolutely. So I transferred down to LCC.
Okay.
To be in a closer proximity with someone I was dating at the time. Mm-hmm. And I still didn't really know what I wanted to do.
Okay.
I was taking some criminal justice classes, you know, some other sort of things. And then I took this improv class and I thought, oh, well, that'll be an easy A for me. You know, I'll just be a class clown, whatever. And what happened is I started to meet some of the people in the theater department. Penny Owen, who was the head of theater at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I took the class with her and then she recommended that I take another class and another class. And it just clicked with me. It just felt like this is what I should be doing. So it was very exciting. I took as many theater classes as I could. And it was at that time that University of Michigan was just launching their BFA program for the first time.
Okay, in theater.
In theater, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was in the second class of the BFA theater program at University of Michigan. So I transferred there and went on and got a scholarship and did really well there and then moved to New York. So
I love stories like that because not every community college transfer ends at a neat demarcation line of 2 years with an associate degree. We get really excited when our students take off and maybe get to a transfer destination early. So it sounds like, you know, you took a bunch of classes here, but you really got into a baccalaureate program, that BFA program down the road in Ann Arbor pretty quickly. Like how many shows did you do here at LCC?
I did, I think, boy, looking back, maybe three or four shows before going.
Well, that's enough to get momentum, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it was really the classroom that changed my life here. The training that happened, the realignment, I'll call it, of my focus as a student, that's what shifted.
Wow. Wow. And so, and I've heard this from a lot of community college transfer students. Tell me about your experience going into that BFA program with classes under your belt from here as compared to maybe some of your classmates who started off right there when they were freshmen.
Well, the biggest difference was I felt like the training that I got here set me up to succeed in a better way than I would have been able to do if I somehow miraculously had gotten into University of Michigan out of high school.
Like right away.
Yeah. So
why? What was the difference?
I'd learned how to be a student here. And I think for me, someone who struggled a little bit in high school, I was taught how to be a student.
Wow. Wow. Tell me a little bit more about that. So when you learned to be a student, you were taught to be a student. What does that mean? What did you learn?
So I learned to be on time. I learned to do the homework. I learned that the work that happened in the classroom was not the only work you had to do. All of the other stuff surrounding it mattered, you know, and that was something that I didn't get until I came here.
That, to me, that's fascinating in the performing arts, right? Because when we think about rehearsal, when you rehearse the play, mm-hmm. that's not when your actors learn their lines, right?
No.
They learn their lines before.
Yeah.
Because there's higher order work to be done in the production. So it sounds like being on time mm-hmm. in any performative arts thing, right, is super, super important. It sounds fundamental, but it's super, super serious.
Yeah. And you can, you know, I'm sure if you asked anybody, well, what are you supposed to do to be a good student? They say, well, you got to be on time. You can say it.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is whether you actually put it into your life.
Put it into practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm interested in things that you might have taken with you from LCC to that BFA program or to your acting career in New York. Were there times in productions where you thought back to things that you learned here? Tell me a little bit about what you took with you from LCC, both to Ann Arbor and to New York City.
Absolutely. You know, aside from what we just spoke about as being on time, but I think the work ethic.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of actors out there, especially in New York, sort of dime a dozen.
Okay.
And you have to just keep doing your job and your, you know, kind of keep your blinders on a little bit
mm-hmm.
and not worry about all this other stuff that's happening, because everybody's path is different.
Okay.
You know, my path from Boyne City to Kansas, where I am now,
yeah.
has been a winding road. But the thing that has always driven me was my desire to do theater and to now later in my life to be an educator, to pass down what I was given that changed me.
So you mentioned something that's always fascinated me, and that is the incredibly competitive environment that is New York City in the arts,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's often a dream of folks in the arts to go to New York, which is where there's such a hub of creativity, whether it's music or art or performing arts, dance and theater. Tell me a little bit about what those 20 years were like. You mentioned you did regional theater, you did, I think, off-Broadway.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that competitive nature.
Oh, boy. Well, at the beginning, you show up to all of these open calls, which if nobody has gone to an open call, what it means is you stand in line with 400 other people at 4 a.m. in Times Square, and you wait for the Equity Building to open so you can walk up there to get a time slot to come back 4 hours later to do a 2-minute monologue to hopefully be selected to be seen by the casting director.
Wow.
I mean, that's an open call situation.
And it sounds incredibly cutthroat.
Yeah. Just because there are so many people.
Right.
Or you send out, you know, 50 headshots and resumes per week to just try to be seen by somebody. You know, the struggle before you get an agent is getting in the room.
Wow.
And then once you get in the room, you have to be so prepared and really show up ready to let them know what you can bring to the job. And the final piece of that is if you hit every single thing right and you get in the door and you knock their socks off and they're like, wow, this person's really great, they still might not cast you.
Wow.
You know, because they're like, oh, you're really great, but you know what? You're a little bit too short, or you're a little bit too fat, or a little bit too – and God, you were great. And you just have to be like, okay, well, on to the next one.
On to the next thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's such an integral part of our popular understanding of what the arts in New York are like. It reminds me of just recently, you probably saw Tick, Tick, Boom, right? Mm-hmm. It takes place probably in the era that you were in New York, and just shows what a struggle it is for artists and particular theater people to perform their craft. And you mentioned waiting in front of the Equity office. That's another thing about your background. You're an mm-hmm. Equity actor. Mm-hmm. You're also, I think, a member of Screen Actors Guild, right? So this is mm-hmm. These are professional performing arts unions that
yes,
you're a part
yeah.
of.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was fortunate enough to get my Equity card in the Now I have to think. I think it was in 2000 or 2001. I can't quite remember.
Mm-hmm.
At the Shakespeare Theater of New Jersey.
All right.
I had my very first audition actually in New York was for a Shakespeare Live, which is a touring company that toured Shakespeare around to high schools. And it was run through the Shakespeare Theater of New Jersey. And I got that job and made good connections and worked in their non-equity company. And I was with them for a couple of years. And then that theater offered me my very first equity contract. And I say all that to say that a lot of what this industry is about and what the business is about are relationships.
Right.
You know, being the person who shows up on time, does good work, is a good colleague with everyone. Because, you know, we work long hours, late hours, and everybody has so much on their plate. They, you know, directors and casting people, they want to bring someone in who's going to be a part of the team.
Right.
So proving that, being a valuable colleague is really important.
So there's a touring musician that I love who said, you know, you have to be able to play, but in order to be a really successful bandmate, you have to be a good hang. You know,
yeah.
You have to be somebody who can like that is, you know, okay to be with in the green room, mm-hmm. or on the bus,
yeah.
right? I mean, being a good person.
Absolutely.
And, you know, again, I'm really excited that these are things that our theater students can't really learn in a book. The process of putting on a performance, mm-hmm. with you, and this will naturally come up when you're on break or eating or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably how you learned all of this.
Yeah.
Was from fellow actors who had been doing it for a long time.
Right. Absolutely. All of those stories, those old stories, you know, I mean, actors love to tell stories.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's a storytelling craft.
Yeah.
So one other piece of your career that I find super fascinating, I mean, we already check all the boxes. I love theater. I love Shakespeare. I love LCC. But near and dear to my heart, you're a community college faculty member now.
Yes.
You came back.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your studio and your teaching in Kansas.
I feel really blessed to be a part of Independence Community College. It's an incredibly supportive town and community.
Mm-hmm. Where is it located?
Independence, Kansas.
Yeah, so okay.
Southeast Kansas.
So like LCC, your college's name is the city name,
yeah.
plus community college. Great.
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel really the community that I live in and get to work in and be a part of has been a really great change. You know, imagine moving from New York City to Independence, Kansas, which has a population of, I think, around 9,000.
It does.
Yeah. So that shift, that dynamic change, was dramatic, but it's been so great.
Well, and here's one thing, because I am just a raving fan of community colleges, and what I can tell you about where you are is you are probably the cultural hub of that town, right? If you're going to see live theater,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see it at Independence Community College, right?
Yep, you're going to see it there. You're going to see it in our area high schools.
Okay, good.
The high schools in Southeast Kansas. I was shocked at the level and the quality of work that a lot of these high school directors have put in place.
Mm-hmm.
It's really something special. And so I feel really honored to be able to not only sort of take some of those high school students once they've graduated, if they want to come to ICC and be a part of our program,
mm-hmm.
but I get to go out and watch their productions and their performance and get into their classrooms also. So I do a lot of outreach. It's, you know, it's recruiting, right? It's all part of what you do.
But it's really important.
Absolutely.
Well, and that is my background. So I did all 4 years of high school theater, was president of the theater troupe, and it was a meaningful, transformative experience, mm-hmm. for me to do productions both on the technical side and as an actor, mostly as a tech. So it sounds like this is a really rewarding destination for you after this a great career. The where you are now is as a faculty member leading a theater at a community college that really adds a lot to the community where you are.
It's really rewarding. I feel like it's my way of giving back.
That's too
and,
cool.
And that's where I feel like it ties in here to LCC, because as I said, I got my start here, and it changed my life. And now I'm at a place giving back a lot of those valuable lessons that I learned along that journey.
Well, we're really lucky to have you working with our students. I can't wait to see Romeo and Juliet. It's one of my favorite plays, and I have had such a wonderful time visiting with you today.
Yeah, it's been really fun. Thank you.
Oh, no problem, Paul. Thanks a lot. LCC Alumni Stories is recorded and produced by Steve Robinson on LCC's downtown campus. The soundtrack, Who Told You, is licensed through DeWolf Music and was performed by Ian McCanty. Thanks for listening. Learn more about what our alumni have been up to at lccconnect.org. And if you're an LCC alum and want to share your story, send me an email at steve_robinson@lcc.edu. Until next time, keep learning. This is LCC Connect on WLNZ 89.7 FM.